everybody, and welcome back to LumagiCast, our AS Roma podcast. Once again, we're here talking in the summer. We've got transfers in. We've got transfers out. We've got some friendlies that were played. And here to talk about it all today is Alex, who thank you for taking a little break from your vacation to join us, and Julian. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Greg?
Fantastic. Not as in stereo as you two, but I'm trying. All right, so lots to discuss, and as we were just talking about before we started, before we kicked off the show, we have tons of questions to get to from our listeners, so thank you everybody on Twitter and on Facebook and email. I say email because that's really, you know, out of habit, but no one really sends us anything there. So thank you for all your stuff, and we're going to get right to it. So, Julian, why don't you kick us off with the first topic?
Yeah, sure. There's so much to discuss. I'm not even sure where to begin. I guess we should start with sales. I was looking at our overall list of players purchased and sold, and this season, more than any I can remember, it's been absolutely crazy. Last I talked, Greg, I think last time we touched on Doni leaving for Liverpool. Am I correct on that?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Okay. So we lost three huge players since then. First and most distant, which I guess we should probably go do it like that, was Jérémy Ménez, who lost to Paris Saint-Germain. I don't want to say poor Jimmy, but Jérémy had a year left on his contract. I think he ended up going to PSG for about 8 million euros, and he joins their little revolution they got going on. They also took Pastore and Thiago from Palermo, so they're in some serious rebuilding stages right now. So in general, guys, what do we think? We lost Ménez, and we didn't get a great fee for him, but his contract was just about to go up. So it seems about fair to me. He was always a very good player for us, not a great one. I think he has the potential, but he's got to get his head in the right place. So I hope a move to France does him well.
Yeah, I always compare Ménez going out for a little fee to Stekelenburg, who we got for a very good price, since they both had 1 year left. So Ménez out, Stekelenburg in, like a trade more or less.
Right.
This is sales only, Alex, so I please appreciate it if you would stick to the program.
We won't get to Stekelenburg, I promise, but right now, Alex, how do you feel about Ménez leaving? Is it something that upsets you? Do you think it was time for him to go? Do you wish he had stayed?
You know, of Vucinic and Ménez, I felt Ménez was the closest one. Oh, perhaps the player I thought might stay because of Luis Enrique, that he might convince him to stay, because Ménez's problem was Montella and not the club. And I'm sad to see him go, but, you know, he was one of the sulky players last year, so I can't really say that I'm happy or sad. I'm indifferent.
Well said, Al. You know, I had a pretty good email exchange with Imran and Ross about this, and you know, the end result was no one's going to really question how much talent the kid has, and we all understand how very skilled he is in the different skill set that he brought to the team that not many other players had, if any. So, but the issue is that unrealized potential and combining with his attitude. You know, I think we ended the email saying that, you know, still think he may have a chance, like Alex accurately pointed out with Luis Enrique, that maybe, you know, this will be the thing that kind of breaks him out with that kind of creativity in the room that he may have had in that system. But at the end of the day, you know, and I'll bring these comments up again later, but when you're making the wholesale sweeping changes that Roma is looking to do, you kind of want to get out anything that's remotely close to a negative impact from a personality perspective. Removing that kind of a player moving forward is probably the best thing. But, you know, and again, that's kind of what our perception was. But, you know, I think it's come out that our perception was fairly close to reality. The one thing I will say, I'll say that him leaving, I'm okay with. I think he's tremendously talented again, but I'm all for the sweeping changes and creating the new Roma. But I will say he's been very, very gracious in his departure, which makes me think that, you know, perhaps at least maybe not as exaggerated is his actual persona versus our perception of it.
Right. I just want to say quickly that when we were talking about what would happen this summer after we found out the new owners came in, I was certain that one of Juchinich and Menez were going to leave. I thought for sure one of them was going to go. I really didn't envision that both of them would leave, which, I mean, looking over the sales this year, if we look at the big sales, Mexes, Risa, Doni, Julio, Sergio, at any given time, three of those four were pretty much guarantees in our defense. And then we also have Menez and Juchinich leaving. Juchinich we'll get to. But just speaking in general, that's massive. We lost roughly half the team from last year, and it's only the 1st of August as we record this right now. So I would agree with you guys where I don't think losing Menez was not the worst thing that could have happened to this team. I think losing Pizarro, Totti, De Rossi would be way worse. But if we just look at this from a wider perspective, if anybody doubted just how drastic the change was going to be this summer, I don't think we can doubt anymore. These are complete wide sale, massive, massive changes at our club. And if nothing else, next year is going to be tremendously interesting because we're going to have so many new players coming in, and it's going to take time for them to adjust. But it's also going to be exciting because a lot of these are really young, talented guys. But yep. That's the thing that really struck me when I saw that both Menez and Mirko left.
So should we just segue right into talking about Mirko then, since that's the big official news of today, Monday, August 1st. Is that what today is?
Yeah, indeed. Yep. I guess I have the stats in front of me. I'm just going to read them real quick. So Juchinich left today. Juventus paid 15 million euros Marotta style, which means that we're not getting it all at once. It's going to be over 3 years. He signs there on a 4-year deal. He said that Roma was a closed case, but it's in his heart. And he also said that he's flexible, but he wants to be a prima secunda punta over at Juve. So this was the one that, I mean, if anyone's seen my avatar on Twitter, they know this was the one that really got me. And it's really hard for me to say what I want to about Mirko because in a lot of ways, for me, he perfectly epitomized Roma. Great against big teams, terrible blackouts. Sometimes he performed well above his weight, and other times he missed sitters that he should have scored. But thank you for everything. And I don't think we'll ever forget Juchinich, both for the underwear and the goals against Chelsea and Milan and carrying the team on his back last year. There were a lot of highlight reel moments, both good and bad, for Mirko.
You know, the guy has done a great deal for Roma, in contrast to Menez, who, you know, had just 3 short years did some good things, but nothing compared to the level that Juchinich has done. But, you know, I'm just going to put it all together again in that same kind of, you know, they're looking for a mentality change. They've talked about it since the very, very beginning. And if your idea of the ideal is De Rossi, Totti, and Perotta, the 3 guys that Luis Enrique consistently points out. Now, you know, granted, there's a bit of PR involved in that, but, you know, those are all 3 strong-willed, play till the last, you know, drop of energy and blood is out there. Whereas Mirko and Menez, you know, they were head and shoulders kinds of guys. You know, they you know, would their neck would drop and their head would drop, and it's, you know, arms up in the air and that gets very frustrating. And not to mention the fact that the guy didn't want to be here. You know, this isn't just a decision from the club. This is actually more his decision. I think.
Right, Greg, if I can cut you off really quickly,
yeah.
This is something I forgot to say before. The difference between their agents was massive. Juchinich's agent said a few months ago, right at the start of the summer, that something was broken at Roma. And that, I mean, that was pretty clear indication that he was going to leave. Menez, we kind of got mixed signals from because it seemed like he wanted to leave, but his agent said more recently that his problem was with the old management and not Luis Enrique. Another difference between the two to keep in mind, which, again, had me thinking that we would lose one but not both of them.
Thank you for adding that because it's extremely valid and plays a part in this conversation. But, you know, Mirko wanted out, and that's the end of it. I mean, just this is us facilitating his request, us being, you know, Roma's management, of course. And so I'm definitely more on the side of looking forward to the changes and the excitement and give me some young guns that are going to, you know, fight till the last second. And yeah, Miro scored plenty of goals, 90th plus. Absolutely. You know, we didn't get in the position that we were in chasing Scudetto by beating the teams that we beat. You know, I think we missed out by not beating the teams we should have beaten. And I think that's part of some of this mentality shift that they're looking for. So at the end of the day, I think that that'll suit the new regime perhaps a little bit better, as well as the new mindset that the organization is looking for. Alex?
You know, I have so many mixed feelings. But it's based on, I like the person, Mirko, but I was expecting and hoping for a sale, because why keep a player that's obviously fed up with the city and clearly had some issues. So I'm kind of relieved that he's not among us anymore. He had done his job for us, and it was time to move on. So it's only sad to see him leave for a rival, but I don't think there was any other offers. I mean, I thought Spurs was interested, but obviously they weren't, because if there was any truth to the 70 million euro offer they had, it was reported a week ago, he would probably maybe have been sold to London, unless he really demanded the Juventus move.
Yeah, I think that's an additional part, Alex, that I forgot to mention that probably makes this maybe sting a little bit more, is that he's, you know, staying in Italy and going to Juve.
Right.
Yeah.
In a different way, I think, than Aquilani, where, you know, he went to Liverpool first, that didn't work out for whatever reason, then he joined Juventus on loan. This is a direct transfer right to Juve, so I think it stings a little bit more.
Yeah, I think he can be excellent for Juventus, but I look at Juventus as you know, a wild card, just as Roma next year, and if they will have a, you know, just as we might have a problem fighting against a team like Milan, how long will it take before he might be one of the sulky players of Juventus? I mean, I'm not that sad that he left for Juventus neither. So, like I said, I have mixed feelings. I'm happy it's gone, but I love the guy, because when I met him just 1 year ago, he was the guy, my favorite Roma player just after the derby. It's so weird to see how much have happened from that moment up to the point
by
today.
The way,
so
yeah, by the way, to all our listeners, we have established Alex as the Jinx, as he had pictures from that same visit with Menez and Vucinic, and both of them are now gone. So we are keeping away from any other prized Roma possession.
Alex, I really like Lamella. Please never meet him.
I met Reese as well, don't forget, and he's not
the one.
We forgot about the JAR, yep.
You know, I never told you about the Vucinic thing. It's a silly thing to say, but I want to share it either way, because this is La Magicast, and you can say silly things, right?
Yeah, well, now as good a time as any. It's our farewell to Vucinic, so by all means.
I just remember when I met him, even though he was very nice, very polite, but I spoke with my very limited Italian, so you can imagine. But I just remember after I was about to leave, one of the things I can say in Italian is like, you know, Forza Roma. So I just remember when I said it, he never responded with like a Forza Roma back. And I'm okay, it might be a silly thing to expect for a player, but still. Instead, he said ciao bello, which of course made me warm and fuzzy inside. But still, I was like expecting a Forza Roma back, and when he didn't respond to it, I was like, well, okay, you're just another mercenary, but you know.
One of the funniest stories by far ever spoken on Love Magic Cast, probably the funniest. That actually reminds me though, when we signed, and I can't remember who because we've been through so many players, I think it was Jose Angel. Wasn't the first thing he was quoted as saying was Forza Roma in the city?
Well, it was, but I mean, if you watch any of those, you know, yeah. when they're coming to the airport, that's all they're trying to get him to do, to say, hey, say Forza Roma. You know, say Forza Roma. And then, hey, Forza Roma. All right, there you go. Now you're happy.
Well, right, but I mean, it's interesting to contrast it with Eugenis because Alex did say right to him Forza Roma, and he said, ciao bello. So I don't know. Was that a sign, or was it just Eugenis was tired at the end of a long day and didn't feel like, who knows? I don't know, but it's an interesting thing.
He was very polite because, I mean, it's not like I came there and the only thing I can say is like, Forza Roma, like another idiot. I try to stay as professional as I can, but, you know, you would expect a Forza Roma back, wouldn't you?
Right.
It's the only response, isn't it?
Yeah, or you can say per sempre, which means
right.
forever. But he was like not in that mood, obviously, even though he was in good mood. So I just thought it was kind of strange.
And we have one more sale we should get to. And it's not really a sale, and it hasn't been on Roma's official website. But by all accounts, Julio Sergio has been loaned out to Lecce. Which
loaned or sold?
Means that he's been, it's a year loan, and I'm not really sure of the details after that, if there's like a forced option to buy or whatever. But that means we've gotten rid of both Brazilian goalies, and all that's left is LeBron. So as for Julio Sergio, thank you for 2 years ago. Goodbye. You know, you did your service to the club when we needed you. In much better news, we finally replaced our goalies. We have brought in, after a very, very long and drawn-out transfer saga, Martin Stecklenburg. On very cheap, we bought him for $6.325 million from Ajax. We owe the club another million if he renews or if we end up selling him. We have to pay $500,000 more if we reach the Champions League now, any year between now and 2015-16. From what I understand, we only have to pay that 0.5 once. So if we reach it next year, we have to give him another 0.5, but then that's it. On his side of it, it's a 4-year deal, $2.7 million per year in wages, which is his gross wages. So DLA, our good friend Daniele, informed me that means his real wages are about $1.3 million, which I think is just an absolute steal. This man played in the World Cup final a year ago. He's consistent. He's a good goalie. And we do need some kind of experience in the back after picking up so many young defenders, with the exception of Heinze. So what do you think, guys? Our dream signing for goalkeeper?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, when you keep saying steal, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, he's got some sort of, you know, congenital disease that's going to keep him from playing ever again. But this is, you know, about as legit a goalie. We're talking about an international powerhouse number one, right? So the country he plays for is, you know, as Julian, I think you pointed out on Twitter, you know, 1 year away removed from playing in the World Cup final, and this guy was their goalie, and so that cannot be taken lightly at all, and this is just fantastic news for Roma in the acquisition department.
Yep, I agree. I mean, we would probably perhaps have Viviano if Bologna captured him. But from the market, and realistic, you know, targets, he was by far the most promising name we were linked to.
Right, and it's, for me, it really ties up our mercato. If you think about it, Sabatini's gone after two types of players, really young and promising, or experienced, and not necessarily elder. Because if you look at Mark Seklenberg, he's only, I think, 28, which for a goalie is nothing, really. I mean, they could play till they're 40 if they're good enough. And we also got Heinze to reinforce the back line. On the other hand, we've also brought in Lamela, Bolan, Nego, Jose Angel, Crescenzi, all of our youth guys. So it's an interesting dynamic to see where I think he's bringing in immediate reinforcements and also trying to groom these guys to be the future stars. It's very interesting, to say the least. I still think, in my opinion, I don't think we can stop here. I think we still need one more defender. I would love for it to be Kjaer. But I think we do need a young center back, because Heinze is only on a one-year deal. It could be two if he plays enough, but he is not a long-term solution. We do need a long-term solution, I think. And if I recall correctly, Sabatini said he'd bring in another striker if Juchinich was to leave. So the name linked to us most often is Villarreal's Neymar. But yeah, I think they said recently that their transfer...
Neymar.
Sorry. Getting my Brazilians confused. Neymar, not Neymar. Neymar is from Santos. But anyway, I think...
A big difference in that transfer fee.
Enormous. World of a difference. That's my B. But I think, yeah, so we do need a striker. I think they said they're not going to sell anyone else. If we go with the right amount of money, I don't think, you know, it's only August. I don't think they wouldn't sell him if we go with a reasonable offer. But that being said, I think we do need... And also, I forgot, we're also missing a midfielder, aren't we? Sabatini said we'd bring in a midfielder. So we've done a lot this summer, but I think we're still three signings away from finishing it off.
Yeah, we are. So, which is kind of surprising as well. I mean, you mentioned seeing Menez and Lucic go was quite a surprise. But just to see how far Mercato has gone just to this point, and we're not even finished. We will have three more signings, and compare this Mercato to the other Mercatos for the last 4 or 5 years. You can combine those together and still not come close to what we achieved so far.
Right, it's really pretty impressive. I have the whole list in front of me. We've brought in Cicinho, Okaka, Corchi, Guberti, Bertolacci, Sini, Crescenzi, Pettinari, Jose Angel, Nego, Boan, Lamela, Einza, and Seklenberg. I mean, that's a lot of players. And we've let go of Mexes, Castellini, the younger Berdiso, Loria, Risa, Guberti, Doni, Menez, Julio Sergio, and Vucinic. We've been, I don't know, I mean, there's a lot of clubs really busy on the transfer market, but that's, I mean, this club's going to be, without Totti and De Rossi, it'd be practically unrecognizable. It's huge difference.
Yeah.
One thing I want to point out about the transfers, when you're going over Sabatini's job and what he's done, and I kind of had a little mini, not rant in a negative way, but just a run of consecutive tweets the other day. A point not to be missed in all of this is the business sense of a lot of these deals. Wages have been lowered, and you know that is a from what everything I remember reading in the beginning was a significant concern of the new ownership group, and that we had to get the age down, and then we had to get wages down.
And check plus on both of them.
Yeah, and I think the thing is he managed to do it with value. You know, looking at the Heinze deal, I mean, I think that's just perfect. You know, you
right,
got
and
veteran guy who can provide some leadership, but low wages, and there's no gamble there.
Right. The only thing is, some people say, you know, Heinze is way past his best. What can he get to the team? But if we're talking about him as a depth signing, if you think about it, we still have Juan and Verdiso. If we do bring in another center back, Heinze could potentially be fourth choice center back. That's not a bad fourth choice center back by any means, if you ask me.
And don't forget, he can back up as a fullback too.
Right. Correct. Which we'll probably need, I think, more than center back, considering our fullback options are very young and unproven, and I hope they work out well, but I think he's going to have to cover probably more as a fullback than a center back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that brings us to another question in terms of acquisition from the sense of player returning. You know, we've got Cicinho.
Yes.
And Cassetti on the right, but, you know, so I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. That's why I'm trying to reserve all my thoughts and all my judgments in terms of strategy and tactics until the entire squad is in place, because until that happens, you know, it's hard to really get a good read on what this team is going to do and who's going to be the one doing it.
In the matter of ages, 2 points. Cicinho seemed to be willing to lower his wage because he has a very high wage at the moment. And I think that's a very good sign if he wants to, you know, be among the revolution and lower his demands, although he will probably get 1 year added to his contract. But I think it's still it's good to see him be willing to lower his wages from 2.2 to 1.6, I think. So the whole, you know, bringing down the wages, it seemed to be working. But at the same time, my second point was Borriello, because he earns quite a lot and he is linked to Paris Saint-Germain. So they might get Berbatov now and drop Borriello, but, you know, we might add his name to the list of players going out, because in this mercato, you don't really know what's going to happen.
True. The only thing I would say there is when we did bring in Borriello on a full, remember Sabatini specifically said we brought him in to keep him. So I think PSG would have to make a pretty hefty bid for us to consider selling him. And again, for what it's worth, I honestly think he deserves at least another season at the club. But because then, again, if we sell another striker, we will have lost Vucinic, Borriello, and Menez in one transfer window. And Totti, Boan, and Lamela aren't going to cut it by any means. So then do we have to bring in yet another striker?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be a headache. I guess that really depends on PSG. One other thing I wanted to say really quickly was that De Rossi was supposedly offered a contract extension today. I think the club announced it. I saw it reported on quite a few websites. There's no word on whether or not he's going to accept it. By all accounts, he seems to have decided that he's going to stay, so hopefully this is just a matter of wages and they'll get it sorted out and he'll sign, because you know, that's probably the most worrying free agent we still have.
Yeah.
Potential free agent.
I know a lot of people are convinced he will stay. I'm not saying I'm convinced he will leave, but I feel it's quite worrying that he never has expressed himself to the public when there's obvious it's a lot of writing and stuff in the newspapers. And every time you hear, yeah, he will stay, it's from it's a second-hand source, like Sabatini today, or not even Sabatini, I think it was Fenucci who said it, that Sabatini said it, that De Rossi said it. And for me, it's just a sign that he's on the fence, and I'm not relaxed before he really comes out and says, don't worry, guys, I will stay.
And he really only likes to speak publicly about the officials, so we're good there.
Well, we're not going to touch that one. I was just going to say, in my opinion, no one should be untouchable. If Real Madrid come in and they're like, hey, here's 50 million euros, we want De Rossi, then that's something we at least, I think, have to consider. Especially I'm just saying, especially if, as Alex is saying, what if he actually does want to leave? Do we keep him against his will and lose out on getting the money? You know, it depends. It depends what De Rossi we're going to see this season, too. Is it going to be the De Rossi we used to know or the one we've come to know now, which is, sad to say, quite a different player?
The problem is, within 2-3 weeks, we have to decide his future, because we can't let him leave for free. And when the other clubs realize, well, he hasn't renewed his contract, they won't offer us more than 20 million sterling pounds, maybe.
Which is what confuses me, though, because even if he did want to leave, don't you think he would just sign the contract extension anyway, with a golden handshake from the club that they'll sell him? But since he has an extension, they'd get more money from him. So, don't you? I mean, I kind of saw it that way, where even if he did want to leave, I assumed he would sign maybe a year contract extension That way, if Real Madrid come knocking, at least he's not leaving next year. They'd be forced to offer a little bit more.
I will say this. If it's true that he has given hints to the management he wants to stay, and then suddenly tells us right before the market closes in the end of August, shit, I want to leave. He's the biggest asshole that ever walked on this planet.
Right. I don't think he's going to do that for what it's worth, because
that
is a real asshole move. But, I mean...
I may want it to happen just so I can hear Alex swear again, because it's fun.
One other thing I wanted to get into was one of the news things today was Lamela said that Berdiso was helping him a lot settle into the side, both Argentine. Lamela, I saw him a bit in his U-20 World Cup game against Mexico. He was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I'm glad we got him before this, because his price would have raised quite a bit, I think, because he had sensation. He had, like, a great game. His goal was sensational. It was quite a good goal. Again, I'm starting to like Lamela a lot, which is, you know, scaring me, because you always, you know, clubs get these young guys and they don't turn out to be what you think, or they get sent on loan forever and they never play. But I'm hoping he gets to play, and definitely want to keep an eye on for next season.
I don't want to say that too much to make him sound like something he isn't, but I saw the first 45 against Mexico, and I must admit that was something of the most exciting stuff I've seen of a teenager for a long time. So this boy will be big.
Yeah, he's playing in a little bit. I'm going to watch the game. I think it starts like 8:45 or so our time. So I'll definitely watch that. And
where are they playing tonight,
Greg?
England, I believe.
Oh, wow, that'd be a good one.
Do we want to go over the any of the friendlies and stuff that have been played since the last time, like at least the triangular tourney?
Well, I didn't get to see it, so if you guys saw it, we could talk about it.
No, I was out.
The only one that saw it?
I was out, so I didn't see it.
The only one that saw it. Well, we sucked. All right, there we go. Moving on.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to cover? We got mad questions. Like,
yeah, let's just go right to the questions.
Okay. Let's
give to our adoring public.
You know, I haven't been on the show for a while, but did you give like a big and honorary goodbye to the Norwegian?
We didn't. I don't think we gave him I mean, we talked about his departure, but I wouldn't say we gave him like an honorary goodbye.
No,
if you want to say something, it is your.
Yeah, go ahead, Al. Go ahead, Al. Give a little like teary-eyed goodbye. You can even do it in Norwenglish if you want.
I'd rather not. No. I did listen to the podcast. I can't just remember if you mentioned the sale of him or not. But I just saw on his blog that he wrote that he felt mistreated by the management.
Yeah.
But you know, just from my point of view, he was one of the, like, in terms of professionality, he had the right attitude. He had the right mentality, the right work rates, and everything you want the players to be like when they are in Trigoria or on the pitch. But after his head injury, he was never quite. He seemed to be lost after that injury. I feel sorry for him that he feels mistreated. But I wish him good luck in Fulham, and I think it was really the right move for him and for us.
I think I'll agree with that, and I'll think he's the remainder of the way, whatever team he's. That is amazing. Even Roma podcasts have blackouts. That is incredible. Who would have thought? Basically, all I said was that I think the best thing we could say about Risa is the fact that he's got a lot more fans now, based on his short time here. And, you know, people that are going to probably, like myself, you know, will follow his career the rest of the way. Regardless of what team he's on, because he just made that good of an impression on me for his time with Roma.
All right, we got tons of questions. I think we should hop into those.
All right.
We have two from Andrew and Theorin. they asked us, both the same one, who would we pick to replace Vucinic? You guys take this one. Go ahead. Who do you think?
You know, I got asked this on Twitter in a different way, so to speak, and I kind of cheated with my answer, and I said, which, you know, I'm very popular for doing so on the podcast, you know, that I would kind of leave that up to our DS, leaving that up to Sabatini, because I really don't have insight into what Luis Enrique really needs, you know, because if he's going to look for a really great wide player and he thinks that that's what is going to be the right selection, then, you know, he can go out and get one of them. But if you want somebody that can slot middle and drift in and out, wide and inside, then that's something completely and totally different. So the point I tried to make on Twitter today was I don't necessarily think it's going to be a like-for-like swap. Like, we're not going to try and find somebody that has Mirko's same abilities. I think Enrique has already communicated to Sabatini, all right, with him gone and me not having to worry about that from a tactical situation, this is the type of player that I want. Maybe even here's a few names that make sense to me. I just don't feel comfortable offering up a name when the skill sets could be completely and totally different from what's actually required.
You know, from the names we are linked with, with the mantra that Sabatini has, the young, talented, and hungry, if I had to pick one, I would choose Douglas Costa of Shakhtar.
No.
Yes.
No. Not after what they did.
Is that a no from Julian?
Not after the Champions League this year. I don't want to see any of those players again.
Well, better with us than against us.
That's true. I guess they can't harm us twice, right, if they're on our team. I don't know. After that goal, though, I hated him that second. I still hate him. Maybe I'm just bitter.
You're bitter.
Yeah, right. All right, let's move on. I'm bitter and jaded at the age of 20. Joseph asks us, clearly Roma are having a great transfer season. Besides Kaya or a center back, anything else you'd like with the Vucinic money? I'm just going to say that, as we talked about, I just think we need those three players Sabatini mentioned. A striker, a midfielder, a defender. Those are the three things I'd like to see. So if the Vucinic money goes towards those, I'm perfectly happy.
You happy with Gonzalez as the midfielder?
I mean, he wouldn't be my top choice. I wouldn't be upset necessarily because I don't think I know too much about him to dislike him. It's hard to say, though, because I'm not really sure who my top choice would be. On the other hand,
How about this? I'll make it a little bit easier on you then. What kind of midfielder do you think we need?
If we're going to play a 4-3-3, and I think Giralsi and Peck are probably guaranteed starters, we're going to need someone else to round out the midfielder. Considering Giralsi is our ball winner, Peck's our distributor, we probably just need a decent a regular overall center midfielder.
Box-to-box guy?
Right, a box-to-box player, which, to be honest, makes me think a lot of Brigi. I think we'll see a lot more Brigi this season than we saw last. So if that's the case, I mean, we already have three guys who could start. It really depends who we want to back up. I've always been of the opinion that we have to back up Pizzotto, because I feel like we don't really have a vice Pizzotto. I'm not really sure who that could be, because Pizzotto's a very unique kind of player.
Pizzotto, yeah, well, I'd say Pizzotto may be the vice Pizzotto. I'm not
right.
So sure. I'm not so sold or sure on him being the starter.
I'm convinced that he might be closer to Pizzotto than anyone else, and if we have him, Pizzotto and De Rossi on our midfield, I believe we have a very technical, very skilled, perhaps not like a physical and ball winners kind of midfield, but if we want to have possession and play, you know, beautiful two-touch football, he's probably a very good buy because that's the kind of guy he is. Because I don't see Luis Enrique and Sabatini go for a hard-working, box-to-box, stamina guy like Brigi.
Right.
I think we are going for someone like Pizzotto, but not someone to push out Pizzotto, but someone who can play with him and has the same amount of brains that Pizzotto has.
Right, and I gotta say, I haven't watched too much of Marseille, so I don't really know, I haven't seen too much firsthand. From what everyone's saying, he's quite a good player, but the other thing is he's already 30, which means our midfield is gonna be by far the oldest area of the team. So I'm not sure if I want another player quite that old. And the way I see it, if we're gonna try to be Barcelona, which we can, but if that's what our aim is, in De Rossi we have Busquets, and in Peck we have Xavi, we're missing Iniesta. So if I were Sabatini, I would be looking for an Iniesta-esque player to complete out the midfield. I don't think that's Lucho Gonzalez. Maybe it is. I'm not really convinced. But again, I said this before, I'm willing to give anyone the benefit of the doubt for this upcoming season. So whoever Sabatini thinks is good for the team, it's good enough for me.
He's 30, Gonzalez. So he's quite old compared to the young, hungry and talented mantra of Sabatini, but if the midfield is the heart of the team next season, like the heart of Luis Enrique's style and formation, I don't think experienced midfield is a bad idea, even though it means we have to replace them because Pizarro is even older with the next couple of seasons.
Okay, Digo29 asks us, honestly, do you want Enrique to turn Roma to Barcelona or just bring it back to the top four? With a caveat, I think he needs top three now because I would assume he's talking about Champions League spots and it's no longer four in Italy. Right. To be honest, I'd love to be top three, but I don't want to get to the top three by playing Catenaccio. So I kind of want both if we can have it that way. I don't think we're going to become Barcelona. That's impossible. But if we can get to the top three and play attractive football, I think that's what Enrique, you know, he's trying to do a bit of the, you know, the hardest thing you could possibly do, win and be entertaining at the same time.
Right.
You know, lots of times it's one or the other, and to do both is going to be incredibly difficult. So, I would like both if possible.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think this year might not be the best year to answer it, though, being in the first year and everybody's new. It may take you know, a little bit to kind of get to that entertainment value over time, but I'm all in for the project, so moving on.
Okay. Dylan asks us, what do we think about Cicinho? Really quickly, again, new project, everyone gets a second chance, so no hard feelings.
Yeah, I mean, I've been as down on this guy as anybody else, and he's looked okay so far in the preseason, but you know, at the end of the day, he is still who he is, and that concerns me a little bit. But, you know, if he starts performing poorly, then he gets replaced.
Yeah, I'm fine with giving him the chance and the capacity till January. And if they failed, we should look for another right back.
Okay, so Norm Usings, Nick asks us, if your podcast was a famous left-wing thinker, who would it be? I have not the famous clue. I'm going to go Karl Marx, but I don't know. Could be anybody.
I was going to try and go like literal humor and pick like a very intelligent left-wing soccer player.
Instead of making the joke, you just explained it.
Yeah. How about Bruno Conti? Yeah.
I don't know. Moving on. Next question.
Okay. Guinness
418. That's a good one,
though. It was a good one. I wish we had been better prepared. What would have been worse? Curran Boateng terms or if we never got him at all? And for me, that depends on completely who we would have gotten instead. So I'm not sure if you're able to say it. I'm sure he would have signed someone else. I have no idea who it would have been. I don't like the current terms. I think I made that pretty clear. It seems like we're purely loaning him, and I don't think really that's what we should be doing. I know people disagree. That I feel pretty strongly about that. So what do you guys think?
Based on the fact that I'm in disagreement, I'll say that I have no problems with the terms.
You can look at it in two ways. One way is, you know, we should have bought him, and if he's going to play a important role for our future, why loan him and blah, 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 blah. But I look at it on the other way. We have a hungry young player who wants to prove his worth and show Barca that he's good enough. And we get that for free for 2 years. And I have no problem to have added depth in our roster. So roster. Is it rooster or roster?
Rooster is the animal.
It's rooster. Definitely rooster. Rooster all the way.
On our roster. So, you know, you get plus one guy for free. I have no problem with that for 2 years.
Yep.
Okay. We have one more Twitter question from Arestaya, our good Mika, who asks us, basically, who's going to take up Mirko's unofficial Roman all heart and passion mantle with hair? Or was that referring to Mexes?
Yes.
It was Mexes, right, because the hair is never Mirko. That's a good question. It's pretty tough to say. Again, I'm a big Lamella fan. I'm hoping it becomes him. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being Heinze.
Well, does he really have the hair, though?
No.
Like, my answer...
Right. He doesn't have the hair.
Right. See, my answer without the hair would be Bordiso, because he's already shown that he has tremendous passion, and he can be that, like, non-Roman, but he's got Akira hair. You know, he's got hair like Akira. So he actually looks like Akira if you want to go and Google the anime cartoon character. That was my answer that I told her I would give. The hair issue is kind of Crescenzi's got the hair, right?
Cassetti got the hair.
No, Cassetti.
He doesn't have hair that's fearful though, like that causes fear, like Mexes's hair did.
I can remember some Austrian from the 40s that had such a haircut.
We're not going to go to that one.
But I don't think they were fearful of his hair. You know, at least not the hair on his head. Anyway, we've drifted into all sorts of awesome
mustache and not hair anywhere else, but I'm not entirely sure. So let's just go into Facebook. We had three questions here. Scott asked us, how will all the changes affect the squad in the coming season? Maybe he's just going to change it entirely. That's a huge question.
One of the things, you know, is it should be a new mentality moving forward. I'd like to see who the final team on our roster is so that we can effectively – you know, start thinking about how these changes will affect them, you know, in terms of play and who's playing and how they're playing and where they're playing. I think, for the first time in a long time, we've said this many times, this is going to be a huge, huge shift in watching this team play. So that's why it's such a great question that Scott's throwing out there. So
I think it was Napoli's president mentioned the mentality of Roma seemed to be going for them at the moment. I mean,
yeah, but he also said he hated Calcio and ran away on someone else's scooter. So, anyway, we have one more question. What were you saying, Greg?
Yeah, I was just agreeing.
Oh, okay, cool. We actually agreed on something. Let that be known. Mark asks us, how do you think Totti will fare in Enrique's system? How can he bring out the best in Totti? If we build the team around Totti, like he's been saying time and time again, I think he's going to be. He's going to flourish. Totti still's got it. The question is, can we get him the players around him who he needs to be successful? You know, giving him enough protection in the midfield, having guys who can chase down his balls, things like that. But I think it'll be great.
Yeah, I have confidence that the two will figure out a way to get the most out of Totti, and that includes knowing when to give him some time off.
In terms of Totti and Luis Enrique's system, you know, it's so hard to tell right now because I don't know his system well enough. Because I think people always tend to compare Luis Enrique's system to Guardiola's and Barca's, and I don't know for sure that's really what he wants. So, but the best way to bring out the best in Totti is to make him centerpiece of the whole thing, because he can't run as much as before. So you have to let him use his, you know, pass the ball instead of running after the ball. So he has to be a centerpiece of the system to get the best out of Totti. So, you know, it's quite hard to give a good answer to that question today, I think.
Yep.
All righty, and that was our final question.
I actually tracked down another one. I remember getting this message from Facebook. Sometimes when they post F, or before we post the, hey, we're recording, sending questions, but Matt Cooper had asked likelihood that Roma makes a Champions League with only three spots and a minimum, basically, of five good teams. And, you know, at this time of the year, it's really tough because, again, as we've mentioned, they're still forming the team, but I think it's going to be really hard for them to make that top three.
That being said, the only team I see so far that I think is certain to make the top three is Milan. I think they're the only ones who still have a good enough squad to be practically assured of a top three spot, and their coach, you know, Allegri's obviously proven. Inter is still a big question mark under Gasperini. Juve and us are just way your wild cards, as Alex said. Napoli have done well, but you know how teams get once they reach the Champions League, can they juggle both? And the same Udinese have gotten weaker since last year. So, I mean, it's a huge, huge question mark. There are a lot of teams up for grabs, but I think Milan is probably going to be in the top three. I wouldn't, you know, any other way the table finishes, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it can go either way for us, and it can go either way for Juve. It can go either way for, you know, you don't know what Palermo would do with all those Pastore Euros. They can be, well, they don't have Sabatini anymore, so I don't expect them to buy that well. But you can't, you know, exclude them. But I believe, like you mentioned, Julian, it will be Milan among the top three, and Napoli, I believe that they will be taking one of the three spots, and Inter, Juve, and Roma, and perhaps even Lazio fighting for the last spot.
I just want to say really quickly that Napoli, the further they go in the Champions League, the way better it is for Roma. Their squad isn't deep enough, I don't think, anyway. I could be proven terribly wrong, but they're going to have a lot of trouble if they have to go forward in the Champions League and play Serie A. I think it's really going to test their depth. Plus, if you saw the draw and you saw, you know, Di Laurentiis' reaction, their games right after their Champions League draws are, like, incredibly difficult. They have Inter, Milan, and Juventus right after group stage games. So this is going to be a big test for them. They did great last year. Alrighty, should we wrap it up, guys?
Yeah, did we have any emails? Did we check the Gmail account?
No, I haven't checked that in, like, 3 months.
Greg, can you check the Gmail before we...
I sure can. All right, let's see here.
This is exciting.
Yeah, this is like live. We're actually, you know, getting this going right live on the recording.
Actually, checking the email.
You know, Alex, we may want to change the password now. Not sure it's appropriate.
It was Julian's password, so...
Oh, poor... All right, no questions.
Wow. Shocking.
Shocking. People hate our Gmail account.
That's all right. Go ahead, Greg. Wrap it up.
But all right. You can say, like us on Facebook. That's a good thing to end the show with.
Yeah, definitely like us on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook, and you can... follow us on Twitter, and you can follow us individually on Twitter. All of our Twitter accounts are within the @LaMagicCast Twitter account. And, you know, we had some tearful and not so tearful goodbyes. So long, Menez. So long, Mirko. I think we probably, I know. Poor Julian. Get a new jersey, buddy. Stick with no names. Can't go wrong with that guy.
And that's what my dad says, too.
But, you know, I think we touched on those guys a little bit, but at the end of the day, with all that we had to get to, we could probably have gone on a full show just covering those guys, as well as what the significance of bringing in someone like Stecklenburg is. So we hope that you enjoyed the little bit that we did covering those elements. But it's time to wrap it up, folks, and get prepared for hopefully soon, we're going to move back to once a week. Guys, what do you think?
I'd be down.
All right, so maybe not the next show, maybe, who knows. But very soon we'll move back to our normal once a week recording. For Julian, for Alex, for Mirko and Jeremy, this is Greg saying ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.